As a dog mom to several dogs of my own, as well as many foster dogs, I pretty much know which ones are good to go when going out in public and which ones either need to stay home or need a lot more work. Unfortunately, many pet parents don't know that their dog's not ready for prime time and maybe don't even realize the etiquette for being in public with their dog. So that's what we're talking about today, so that you and your dog can travel out in the world and get along and get things done. So stay tuned. You're listening to Starlight Pet Talk, a podcast for pet parents who want the best pet care advice from cat experts, dog trainers, veterinarians, and other top pet professionals who will help you live your very best life with your pets. We also share inspiring rescue and adoption stories from people who've taken their love of pets to the next level by getting involved in animal welfare. My name is Amy Castro, and I'm the founder and president of Starlight Outreach and Rescue and a columnist for Pet Age magazine. I've rescued thousands of animals and helped people just like you find the right pet for their family. My mission is to help pet parents learn all the ways that they can care for, live with, and even have fun with their pets so they can live their very best lives and their pets can too. My guest today is Nancy Hassel. Nancy is the president and founder of American Pet Professionals, which is a business networking, educational, and multimedia organization for the pet industry with members from all areas of the industry. Passionate about helping pet businesses succeed, Nancy's also passionate about helping pet parents be the very best pet parents they can be through education. Nancy created and taught a responsible dog ownership class for 5 years in two different towns and collectively taught over 2,500 pet parents, all with no dogs in the classes. So Nancy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Amy. I'm so happy to be here today.
You know, I was so glad that when we were talking about the possibility of having you on the show that you brought up this subject today, because it happens to be a personal pet peeve of mine. Like I told you before we started recording, I had a Doberman Pinscher who was very well trained, but and it was my fault. He was not really greatly dog socialized. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there were just so many times where I either couldn't take him out in public because other people couldn't control their pets, or even just going to the vet would be a hassle because we'd be sitting in our corner and he'd be minding his business. And, you know, people without a control dogs on my least favorite leash, the Flexi leash, would just cause chaos. And then it was always my dog's fault because he was barking. So
yeah. And you got the dirty look.
I got the dirty look. Yeah. And then it perpetuates the negative image of my poor dog's breed as well.
Yeah.
So, it's definitely a two-way street. I think,
right,
when it comes to this, bringing our dogs out in public and being respectful. So what would be, and I know you taught classes on this to people. What are some general messages about just taking your dog out amongst humans and other dogs? And then I want to get into some specific scenarios.
Yeah, absolutely. So I did teach a responsible dog ownership class. It was just for people. It was a class that came out of a knee-jerk reaction of me being frustrated with seeing yet another law being passed against dogs. And I was complaining to a friend and I said, you know, it would be nice if instead of just having another law, they actually educated dog owners. And she's like, why don't you teach a class? This is back in 2008. And I was like, what? And then it just perpetuated from there. But one of the main things that I always said in every single class, we had dog trainers in the class and veterinarians. I started the class off and we had no dogs in the class. It was just educating pet parents and about to be pet parents. We had a lot of people that came that were about to adopt a dog or thinking about adopting a dog or buying a dog or whatever they were doing, however they were getting their dog. Mm-hmm. But one of the main things I always said is know your dog and know your dog's breed, even if you have a mixed breed, because a lot of the different behavioral issues, you know, people thought they were behavioral issues and it was really just what the dog was bred for, right? Mm-hmm. Our dog keeps getting out and running away. Our dog keeps doing this. And I'm like, well, that's part of the dog's breed or that's part of your dog's mixed breed. And know your dog, right? Don't be in denial about your own dog's personality, their behaviors. You know, are they a dog that might be reactive on leash, but they're not actually, you know, it's not aggression. They just might have a reaction on a leash. Are they overzealous? So excited, you know, and jumping on everybody because everybody likes to blame the dog. And right, like 99% of the time, it's not the dog. It's rare when there's an instance when it's really the dog's fault, right? So know your dog and know your breed or mixed breed of dog, what they were bred for. Know your dog's own individual personality, what their limits are, if they have limits. So that's something that I've always said. And I think, you know, a lot of people had never really heard that we talked about in the class. They'd be like, oh, I didn't think about it that way. And I'm like, yeah, it's nothing against you or your dog. You're here to learn, right? And the other thing I always said in the class was, no question is a stupid question or a silly question because you are here to learn. We are not going to make you feel bad about stuff that you might have done incorrectly in the past or anything like that. We want you to learn and have the best outcome for you and your dog or your about to be dog. So that's some of the things that we always said in the class.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that I find with pet parents, and we've done several episodes that have kind of hit on this issue, is that too many times we focus so much on what we want. You know, I'd love to be able to take my dog, Guinevere, out in public, and she's overall basically a good dog, but she gets so overly excited. She gets so wound up, and then she just doesn't listen as well. And yes, I probably should have taken her out more when she was younger. I didn't have her from when she was a little puppy. I had her when she was pretty much a year old, but you know, so I either need to, you know, work on that gradual increase of getting her out and about, but or just not take her out in public, but to just basically say, oh, I'm going to take her to an all day, you know, event for dogs in the park. It's just not a good idea for anybody involved. It's going to be miserable for her. It's going to be miserable for me, miserable for other people.
Yeah. So you knew your dog, you knew that it wouldn't be a good situation. Yeah.
Right. So what is the, you know, what would be some of the basic etiquette things? Like I said, you know, about the flexi leash, you know, to me, one of the things would be that your dog should be, you know, within your eyesight and knowing what it's doing and keeping it within a certain distance from yourself, because once it gets past that, you're losing a bit of control.
I mean, first of all, the basic etiquette is if you're out and about, if you're in a park or anywhere in a town that there's a leash requirement, get a really good 6-foot leash and keep your dog leashed. I do not care how well behaved your dog is. My dog is super well behaved. He has an awesome recall. He's never going to be off leash where he's not allowed to be off leash. And even in areas where, like at the beach, there's a lot of beaches here on Long Island on the East End that are dog friendly. I put him on a 30-foot biothane leash because, like, he might jump in the waves. I need to pull him out, you know, that kind of thing. He has been off leash at an off leash dog beach away from dogs. He is super dog friendly, but I don't know the other dogs if they're dog friendly or not. So, you know, leash your dog, follow the law. You know, every single day when I'm out walking my dog, there's a loose dog. And my last dog behind me, Mr. Max, he was actually attacked by a golden retriever in a park where the dogs were supposed to be off leash. And it was one of the scariest things that I went through. And I had my Doberman at the time. And the owners, you know, unfortunately just adopted it and had it off leash and were really far away from the dog. And they just assumed the dog was friendly. Luckily, my dog didn't get really hurt. He had some puncture wounds. But for me to then recover, to then retrain my dog, it took a long time because I realized a lot of times my reaction would go right down the leash and it would set him off. He wasn't aggressive. He was a very nervous dog. So leash your dog. I mean, like, I know a lot of people hate that. And a lot of people really give you a hard time if you ask nicely. A lot of times I'll just stop with my dog, Cody. Now, Cody could care less about any dog. Like, he will ignore 99% of the dogs. He'll say hello to dogs that we know that are dog friendly on leashes and stuff. But if I see a loose dog now, you know, I just put him in a sit and then I say to them, hey, can you leash your dog? Or, you know, I just make it really obvious that my dog is in a sit stay and I just stare at the people. And a lot of times that works, but a lot of times they just don't care. And it's that, you know, that part of it is really frustrating for responsible dog owners who aren't just letting their dogs run ahead of them and not paying attention, especially in parks where there's people jogging and biking and running, horses going through the trails, like all kinds of things. I think leashing your dog is for your dog's safety. Dog forbid your dog ran up to another dog on leash that was aggressive and that dog on the leash did damage. You're the one that's responsible. Of course, it depends on the state you're in, but here in New York, you would be responsible.
Yeah. So, and you should be, in my opinion.
Dog up for being, you know, being potentially hurt or run or chase something. Yeah. It's just, you know, I know people that have really great control of their dogs and I see them off leash and I don't say anything. I don't make a fuss. You know, I can also spot a dog's body language from afar and be like, oh, that dog's totally fine and see if the owner has it under verbal control. But it's just frustrating when you're trying to go out and enjoy your walk and you see a loose dog or two. you know, way ahead of their dog. It's like, oh my God, yeah. Put your dog on a leash.
Well, it's interesting too. It starts at home. You reminded me of, you know, I used to, in order to get my Doberman good exercise, because even when I was thinner, I couldn't run long enough or fast enough to get him really good exercise. So I had a bike attachment and we would ride around the neighborhood. Yeah. And inevitably on any given trip, and I remember a neighbor two houses down had two golden retrievers and she had them out on the driveway off leash. You know, she's screaming their names to come back and, you know, yeah. She's yelling to me, they're friendly. And it's like, yeah, but I'm trying to ride my bike with my dog who doesn't want
That's
your
dangerous.
Dogs charging
yeah.
up to us. And, you know, ends up pulling the bike over, you know, breaking the bike attachment. And, you know, it's just like, okay, now around every corner. And then another instance, which I got, and I shouldn't probably even admit this on the air, but I got a little tiny bit of satisfaction out of this one, is that I came around the corner and this lady was working in her front yard and her dog was in the front yard with her off leash and her kid was kind of like sitting on the dog's back. And I thought to myself, okay, when I come around this corner, I hope that dog sits where he's supposed to sit. But if he doesn't, that kid's going to go flying. And sure enough, I come around the corner, the dog jumps up, the kid gets dumped on the ground. I mean, he didn't get hurt. It was on the grass, but it's like,
right.
You know, and here comes the dog out in the middle of the street. And it's like, what if I'd been on the opposite side of the street and a car was coming down?
What if a car was coming? Yeah,
exactly. So, you know, it starts, I think you're right. I mean, no matter how good your dog's recall, and most people's dog's recall is not good at all. You know, it might come to them in the house if they've got a treat, but other than that, it's not good. But you never know what situation is going to trigger them not to hear you or not to listen.
Yeah, and a lot of times the dogs are super friendly, happy-go-lucky. And I want to preface this by saying, there's nothing against Goldens. I love all dogs, right? Mm-hmm. I could care less what kind of breed you have. We just happen to have certain our own situations with those different dogs that happen to be Goldens. I love all dogs. Cody loves all dogs. But it's just, you know, it's just frustrating when you're being the responsible dog owner and here comes a dog running down the street or something. I had a neighbor not too long ago that never leashed dogs. Dogs were always loose. He would scream at them. It was a terrible situation. Thankfully, he moved away. But I felt bad for the dogs. The dogs were nice, but like people would be jogging by and they would go running up to the jogger and the jogger would be like, you know, terrified. And I'm like, oh, my God. So, yeah. Leash your dogs.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're in an area that like you're in a farm or you're in an area that there's no leash law, it might be a different way of life. I'm talking about like suburbia, city of life. That's, you know, really where there's laws that your dog should be leashed.
Yeah. Well, you know, and living on a 7-acre farm-ish, you know, I still get frustrated with people up and they'll literally tell me, because I had a volunteer that picked up somebody's dog thinking it was a stray and needed rescue because it was wandering down the street. And it's like, you know, the excuse is it's a farm dog. It's like, okay, then keep your farm dog on your farm, not on my farm, not pooping in my yard, not chasing my dog, not chasing my pony, you know. And so even then, it's a respect thing, I think. And it's, you know, it's important to follow the rules. You had mentioned body language, and I think it's really that's a really important topic. Can you talk to the issue of, you know, being able to, you know, read your own pet's body language, but also reading the body language of the other, you know, the other dog and people too when you're out with your dog?
Yeah. So this is a big deal. I always talked about this in our classes because when I had my sweet Max, he was a nervous dog, and if there was a dog 20 feet ahead on a flexi or a retractable leash, or just people not paying attention, I would have to move myself over to the side of the trail, put him in a sit, you know, make him pay attention to me, whatever it was. And they would not watch me or my dog's body language. And they would always say, my dog is friendly. And I'm like, he was attacked. And they'd be like, oh my God. Anybody that is a dog parent, you know, we'll address the person's body language first. If you see somebody that is walking their dog and they do what I did, and like with my old dog Max, I'd be like into the woods at some point and people are still beelining over, and I'm like, no, like pull your dog back, watch the person's body language. Sometimes you'll see the person will get really nervous and they're stiffing up, they're pulling their dog's leash because they know their dog might have a leash reaction. So you can see somebody really tense, right? If they're tense, if their body language is tense, if they moved over, if they've crossed the street. You know, I used to have to cross the street sometimes. If they're like putting their hand out, I just think that, especially now, it's even worse because a lot of people are on their phones. They're not paying attention. Just the other day, I was out walking, and where I am, there's a winter break. So there was a family walking with their very happy-go-lucky, beautiful, and it was a golden, and a dog was awesome. And the dog was just like, you know, excited. And my dog, very friendly, but the mother was not paying attention to her dog. She was trying to put the hood something back on her kid. So I just stopped to give them space to let them finish. She didn't even see me. And then she turned around and her dog was like pulling, wiggling every part of his body. It was really cute. And I just said, oh, he's friendly. I'm just, you know, I don't know about your dog just giving you some space to walk by because it was a narrow trail. And she's like, oh, sorry. And I was like, you know, no, it's all right. I didn't have to stop. But for me to stop and give her that space, I think is respectful because she's a mom with two young kids. They're out walking their dog on a beautiful day. I just want to give them space because I don't know if her dog is friendly. Her dog is pulling. Is the dog going to pull her down? So for me, that's what I do. I'm always going to be more protective of my dog than anything else, right?
Right.
And she said, you know, I asked her, was he a puppy? He looked like he's a puppy. And she said a year. And I said, I could tell. And, you know, we had a nice exchange and she went on her way and I went on my way. But that was a little bit different situation. But most people are just not paying attention. They're not looking. They're not looking at the person's body language. And I think that, you know, if you have a reactive dog or not, a friendly dog like Cody, you know, everybody that is being responsible out and about walking their dog has the right to walk their dog leashed. If their dog is reactive and your dog, you're not paying attention and their dog has a little bit of a barking, you can't get mad at that, right? You want to be able to respect other people out walking their dog. I just think pay attention to the body language. So that's the one thing that we would always address is like watch the people and then watch your own dog's body language, right? Mm-hmm. Are his hackles going up? Are you tense on the leash where you're so tense that the dog's like, what's going on? I have to do something, right? When I adopted Cody, he's just the, like, you know, they say bomb-proof dog. Like that's just always how he is. He's happy-go-lucky. I take him almost everywhere respectfully. And I had to learn with him not to tense up on the leash. But when I first got Cody, there was a couple of times that I was like, oh my God, I'm sorry. Because, you know, old habits die hard. Like 13 years of a nervous dog is a lot to overcome. Then you get a happy-go-lucky dog again. You know, I'd had to pay attention to my own body language in walking my dog. But my dog, Cody, won't react to anybody. Like he'll cry, like little baby cries to say hi. He's always like that golden. He's like wiggling and happy. So, you know, pay attention to the person's like their body, pay attention to their dog. You know, if you see a dog wagging the tail, but maybe their lip is curling and they're looking at your dog intensely, maybe don't go say hi.
Yeah. You
know, I don't know.
Yeah. No, and I think
I'm over the top with protection with Cody, but I really could care less.
No, I think it's better to be, you know, the old adage, better to be safe than sorry. And I think, you know, the idea of watching the person's body language is, I mean, the dog body language, obviously that's huge too. But, you know, even if you're out and about and let's say you are walking in the park and there aren't other people with dogs, but watching the body language of the person that's walking, you know, coming your way, did they look like they're trying to, because this is another thing that I've seen is that, you know, it's very obvious the person doesn't want to have contact with the other person's dog, watching that other person's body language, because maybe they just don't like dogs or they're afraid of them. And so if they're moving out of your way to be disrespectful and let your dog go over to them anyway, you know, and saying, oh, that's okay. My dog's friendly. You know, I don't care if your dog's friendly. I'm not afraid of most dogs anyway, but I don't necessarily want your dog jumping on me or slobbering on my pants or whatever it might be. So get the hint, you know, it's like, keep your dog with you.
I will tell you one of the things that I say to people when I can tell that they're like beelining towards us and I will say, oh, not today. We're doing some training, but your dog is beautiful or he's adorable. And I just keep walking.
Yeah.
This way kind of stops them in their tracks and dismisses them. And most people are like, oh, okay. And then you could see their wheel spinning a little, like, I didn't even realize that I should, you know, or sometimes it'll be like, oh, you know, you should just always ask if your dog can say hi because, you know, I don't know if their dog is going to try to attack my dog. Right. So that's kind of, I try to diffuse the situation because people can just get real nasty to each other. But yeah, that whole paying attention is just so smart. And teach your kids that to pay attention. Oh, you know, maybe their dog was attacked in the past, or maybe they're really nervous, like you said, of a dog, a bigger dog coming over to their smaller dog, you know?
Yeah. So we've been talking about being out in parks and things like that. And that makes me think about dog parks. Now, I am very, opposed to dog parks for a mm-hmm. lot of different reasons. But I'd be curious to hear what your thoughts are about taking your dog. You know, let's say you have a really good-mannered dog.
Yeah.
Does that mean it's a good idea to take your dog to a dog park?
So I'm also not a big fan of dog parks. I know a lot of people that go and never have an issue. And I also, you know, stood there and watched dogs get into a pretty big fight on the outskirts. I think it's a great place to train your dog outside. Mm-hmm. The dog park. I have a video that I just did of Cody doing this training as he's sitting and all the dogs are playing in that park. They all seem to be respectful of each other, the people. I'm not a big fan either, just because of what we were just talking about, people not knowing body language, not understanding dog body language. I think every dog parent, about to be dog parent, should take a course on dog body language behavior. If there's a book, whatever there is, mm-hmm. learn it. Learn it from a trainer beforehand. Like, what are the things I should be looking for? That was yep. one of the trainers, Rolissa from Doggy U, Canine Academy. She was a breeder, owner, handler, and competed all over the world. And her stories and her information were fascinating about what the mother dog would teach the puppies and mm-hmm. that, you know, those certain things. And as most dog parents don't know that because maybe they haven't been there. I think any pet parent could, or dog parent could learn that and really learn a lot. And I just think, you know, you can assess the situation, right? There's a agility dog park next to a dog park in a park where you can walk the trails with your dog. And when there's nobody in the agility park, I'll bring my dog in there to do a little quick agility and then mm-hmm. we'll leave. But you know, it's tempting because there was a Doberman in the dog park one day and he was doing the agility and there was nobody in there. And I was like, oh man, I really want to let Cody play with that Dobie, because I could just tell the Dobie was like perfection, right? And the guy was super nice. And as I was like this close to saying, okay, I'm going to let Cody in there and play with that dog, they're going to have a blast. And he's never been in a dog park ever. Mm-hmm. And just that I heard a car door shut and I looked and I see somebody being dragged by like four big dogs and like two people being dragged by four. And I was like, yeah, have a nice day. I'm not even going to take a chance. Now the dogs could have just been excited. But, you know, I think that the part of the problem with the dog parks is that people aren't paying attention to their dogs. And right. you'll see a smaller dog, even if it's a big dog run and it is a big dog, getting pummeled by 20 other dogs. Or they get that chasing factor. So I think, you know, if you're a dog parent and like that's the only option, maybe you live in a city and like New York City, or you want to go to the dog park, go and watch the dog park first. Get to know some of the people in there. There might be times if you want to go into the dog park that there are certain dogs that are always there that get along great and there's no scuffles. I will never bring my dog to a dog park. I don't want to set him up for failure. I don't want him to get attacked. You know, he's just too... just would never do it. He's too yeah. friendly. I knew a dog that got ruined by being brought to a dog park. She was the happiest dog. And after a few times of going there, she was a different dog. So it's not all dogs that's going to happen to, but right. I just think assess it. But yeah, I think it's, you know, there's no real structure in a dog park. There's a sign. Nobody reads the rules. So.
Right. What about, you know, one of my personal challenges that I always used to have was going into the vet's office, because you're kind of limited in space as to how much space you can, how much space you can maintain there. And I don't feel like the, you know, they separate, they might separate, you know, the dog side versus the cat side. So that helps yeah. a little bit, but any particular advice for when you're taking your dog to the vet and there are going to be a bunch of other animals in that space?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we kind of learned this through the pandemic, is that wait in the car with your dog and have them call you when they're ready to go in. If your dog, even if your dog is just excited, right? Like people, like that's how Cody is. He's like, woohoo at the vet. He's probably yeah. one of the few dogs. But if your dog is happy, go lucky and excited, you know, and you're trying to control a young puppy and you're in that vestibule, which are, they're never big enough, right?
Right.
And people are coming out and they're trying to pay and all the things. You can always just say to the staff, hey, I'm going to wait outside with my dog. And can you just call me when we're ready? And then if you have a dog that is reactive, or you know, they will, a good vet staff will tell the people that are like maybe by the door, like somebody's coming in and we're gonna bring a dog back. I think that's just the easiest thing to do, is wait outside and then just be respectful. You know, not everybody wants your dog jumping on them,
right?
Or you know, sometimes there's cats in a cat carrier and you could have a dog that doesn't see it and then all of a sudden gets a whiff that is like really excited about an animal in a cat in a carrier, even if it's another animal. a bunny or something else. And if they have prey drive, that could, you know, really be intense. Yeah. So I would just say, ask the staff, like, hey, I'm just going to hang out outside with my dog. I am very fortunate that I didn't have to stay outside ever during the pandemic with my dog. They just scheduled the appointment so you could go in as soon as you got there.
Yeah.
He just called. It was pretty awesome. So I think, you know, I think we make it harder than it actually is.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's so easy for them to just text or call you when it's, you know, when they want you to come in, when they've got an exam room open. You know, the other thing I'll say, you mentioned the thing about the cats, and it's not always necessarily about your dog and how your dog reacts to cats, because this is a little pet peeve of mine, not only at the vet, but also we have our cats in cages, condos, we'll call them condos, at a local Pet Supplies Plus. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, we love to have the ability to show the cats there. But, you know, people think, oh, my dog is friendly. My dog likes cats. That doesn't mean those cats aren't terrified of dogs. They may not have been around dogs. So just because your dog is good with cats doesn't mean I want you charging up to my cat carrier when I'm sitting in the lobby at the vet, or to my cat kennels at the Pet Supplies Plus. You know, it just traumatizes them. So that's another little bit of advice for everybody. It's not your dog's testing ground to see how your dog reacts to cats, please.
Right.
You can do that at home with your own cat.
Yeah. I'll walk by with Cody and he goes, rrr, 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 rrr. He gets excited. And the cats literally are like, whatever. It's so funny. But we just walk by. I'm like, all right, don't make too much noise. We just keep going. But yeah, I agree with that. That's so funny.
That's funny. So what about, we talked also before a little bit about pet-friendly stores, because I've been seeing some rumblings, you know, when I look at neighborhood Facebook pages and things like that, where you've got, you know, people who are very pro, you know, bringing their dogs to the Home Depots and pet stores and Lowe's and other places like that. And then you've got other people, whether they've got pets or not, that are like, oh, there's no reason for that dog to be there. And I can see both sides and the benefits to bringing your dogs to places like that. So how can we do that without pissing people off, basically?
Yeah, so I will say, if anybody's listening or watching or anything like that that knows me, I bring Cody almost everywhere. Obviously, he doesn't go into every store with me. And I tell him that you can't go into the store I'm going into. You have to stay home, right? So that's the first thing. If it's not dog friendly and your dog is not a certified service dog that you legally, you know, you have to help you, leave your dog at home if it's not a dog friendly store. Some of the dog friendly places, like we recently went to Lowe's because they're dog friendly. And I double check, I triple check, I check all the signs. I look online because I don't want to bring my dog into a store, even though it says it's dog friendly. That's really only service dog friendly, right?
Right.
But we went at dinner time when there was nobody really there. It was like freezing cold. And that's the only reason why we went. And we walked around, we did training and respectful of the store. And they also have Petco now in a lot of Lowe's. So it is. Some of them are pet stores. They did have a whole pet section, but it wasn't an actual Petco. So we walked around. I actually had to get a couple of things at Lowe's. So it wasn't just like me going there to bring the dog to bring the dog to walk around.
Right.
And then I ended up getting some pet stuff too. And just have to be respectful. Don't let your dog chew on the wood. Don't let your dog pee, you know, like make sure that you're being respectful.
That peeing one is a huge pet peeve of mine because, again, it's people being oblivious. They're not watching what's going on.
Yep.
You know, if you know you have a male dog, you know, even if it's neutered, the odds are some other male dog has lifted
might
his leg
marked.
On the corner of that display.
Yep.
And so for you to, and it's so preventable. Don't allow your dog to stand over there and sniff that spot. I mean, if you understand body language, you know it's going to be sniff, sniff, snip, take a step, and then the leg's going to go up. Prevent it. And it's just, it's shocking to me the people that will, and I've seen this so many times sitting at the Pet Supplies Plus where people will just be oblivious and it's, you know, peeing on the floor. And I get it if it's a puppy, but if you've got a male dog and then it's lifting the leg on a 70-pound bag of dog food that I don't want to buy
garbage.
Now. Yeah. I mean, it's just so rude, so disrespectful. We're going to take a super quick break and we'll be right back. Our pets aren't in our lives nearly long enough, so isn't it important that we build the best relationship with them that we can? Let us help. Get our exclusive guide, 10 Tips for Building a Lifelong Bond with Your Pet, and start transforming your relationship today. Get it at bit.ly/bondwithmypet.
And I can't imagine being in the stores and that happening. There used to be a pet store. I think they're still there. And it said no male dogs allowed in the store because for that reason.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
But yeah, I think it all goes down to training, knowing your dog, paying attention to your dog, keeping your dog on that 6-foot lead. Don't let the dog wander. When I was walking around Lowe's with Cody, he was right next to me. I wasn't allowing him to sniff stuff. So, you know, just pay attention to your dog. Like you said, like I said before, we make it more difficult than it has to be. If you have your dog on a longer leash and the dog is ahead of you and you're looking at something else, your dog may go to the bathroom and you might not see it.
Right.
But if your dog was not on that longer leash and was trained in a sit stay or to pay attention to you, bring the tools with you to make the dog, make you the most exciting part of that, you know, walk.
Yeah.
I have treats in my bag. I have a squeaker with my old dog, Max. He didn't go into any of those stores. I had a tennis ball. He liked to hold a tennis ball. So, you know, like find out what your dog is going to be paying attention to you. Train your dog. Look, Cody knows the term. Don't pee on that. I walk him and I pull him to me. I'm like, yo, don't pee on that. Like I took him yesterday to PetSmart just to walk around because he was bored and I bought him a toy. And I wasn't doing training. There was nobody in there. I was just letting him like do his thing. He said hello to one or two people, but there was two spots that I could see. And I was like, over here to me.
Exactly.
So he wouldn't, you know, add to that. So,
yeah. You
know, I think it all depends on your situation. Are you the only person with your dog? You're going to have more time to do that. Are you a family with your dog and you want to go out and about? You know, maybe your dog doesn't need to go to those pet friendly stores. I get for people that are like, you know, not wanting the dogs there. I think for me, my biggest pet peeve is being respectful of service dogs, because I just don't understand. If you see a service dog with somebody, don't bring your overzealous dog up to them. Don't bring your dog like in their vicinity. I just think it's not that difficult to be respectful when you see that. And
Right. It's
pretty clear that you could tell the difference between a service dog and a fake service dog, right?
We did a whole episode on that.
Yeah, so we're not even going to get into it, but it's pretty clear because I've seen a few of the fakes and I've even said, oh, that's not a real service dog. Like, you know, and it could tell because the dog wasn't a puppy in training. It was, you know, like going crazy. But I don't know. The whole store thing is, you know, I love to bring Cody to pet friendly places, but because he's trained and he's well behaved.
Yeah.
My last dog, I didn't bring him because I never knew what the situation was going to be if somebody else had a dog. There's actually a store here on Long Island that did an amazing thing recently. It kind of went viral on their Instagram. She had a special shopping day for a reactive dog. She closed the store and let the dog have, it's a small boutique, let the dog have his shopping day and celebrate the birthday. And I was like, that is such an amazing idea. In 20 plus years in the pet industry, I have never seen anybody do that. So I hope that takes off and more stores do that. Because like I never brought Max to any kind of pet store. You know, just there was no way I was going to put him in that situation. He was nervous. So there was no way I was going to do that. So
part of that, you know, we've been talking about etiquette and not taking your dog someplace if they're not trained. But there's also that whole side of it of, then how do you get them trained to behave in public if you can't bring them out in public? And I do want to address that as we kind of come into the tail end, but I want to hit on something you said about going to the store with your treats and your squeaker and whatever, because that's another thing with the pet etiquette in being in a pet store is that, you know, my dog knew the word leave it. Actually, all my dogs pretty much know the word leave it.
Yeah.
And I see people going down the aisle, you know, picking up a bully stick and, you know, it's in the dog's mouth, putting it back. And it's I hope they're vaccinated and I hope they don't have this and I hope they don't have that. And it's like,
they do that for a reason though. You know, I always, Cody's term for that, he knows leave it, but is don't shoplift. You know,
so
he can sniff, but he's not allowed to pick up anything. So it's kind of funny.
If you lick it, you buy it. That should be the rule.
I did a video. That's hilarious, right? It should be a sign there.
Yep.
But you know, I did a video with him recently of him. We're online waiting and he's in a sit stay. And the lady behind me was like, can I hire you for training? And I was like, no. I said, it's just patience and repetitiveness, you know? And Cody is very excited to be at a pet store. I have some pretty funny videos of his feet on the counter of him being like, you know, at the people. And they encourage it. They were like, oh, he can, you know, and I'm like, no, sit. And they're like, it's okay. And I'm like, oh, that's one other thing that's frustrating. If your dog is like overzealous and wants to jump up and say hi. Don't let them do that. And people respect the pet parent and say, you know, if I'm like, no, off, don't jump, whatever. Don't say it's okay, because it's really it's not okay. I know we want to, as you know, get in there and really say hi to the dog, but you know, you really shouldn't have a dog jumping on other people. And you, as a dog person, if you love it, you shouldn't be letting other dogs jump on you.
Yeah. I always tell people when we have foster dogs and, you know, people are coming to meet them and they, you know, they're in the process of being trained or maybe they don't have any training. And it's like when they say, oh, it's okay, I don't mind. And it's like, you know what? That's so great. But then, you know, the next person that come along might mind, or he might get adopted by somebody that has an elderly person in their house and we don't need him jumping on somebody's grandma. So let's discourage that, you know, help me out by discouraging that. And then they usually will get it. But that's a really good point.
I just want to make one other point. Some of the training that I've done with Cody over the years, I mean, I've had him for 8 years now, but, and I got him when he was about 10 or 11 months. He was a shelter dog, lived in the shelter for 6 months, but he was kind of chilled out, which was really funny. I was like, what's going on with you? You're so calm in here. And he's a exuberant, happy, you know, he howls at everybody. He's just the happiest dog, but he still needed training with that, you know, like I couldn't just have like, wah, craziness the whole time. But what I would do is outside of any place I'm going to bring him in, pet store, anything like that, is a sit day. Cause he's like, he knows doggy store, right? Like we're going to go to the doggy store and he's super excited, but you have to get that excitement under control. And you know, it took a while and it took a lot of repetitiveness because the doors open and the doors close. People come in, people go out. Right. Mm-hmm. And he would be, you know, like, let's go. I want to get in there. And the sit stay. And so I get it. We put him in a sit stay, wait 30 seconds, maybe if he pulled, no, back into a sit stay. I think that really helps with like, yes, they're going to be excited to go into the store, but they should also be under your control, right?
Right.
Somebody commented on a video on his TikTok saying, I could never bring my dog into a pet store because he'd be too excited. And I'm like, yeah, Cody was very excited. He's still excited. But, you know, you have to take what that is, right? You're going to have some training and you're going to have some excitement, right? So you have to figure out what it is, because Cody just loves other people. He loves other animals too. But he is so excited to see people. And I take him to a lot of like outdoor events and stuff like that. He sees a pop-up tent now. He thinks it's something that he should be going to. And when we leave, he literally sometimes will stop his body and look at me like I'm ruining his life. I'm like, we've been here for 2 hours. Let's go. Yeah. The other thing I would say to that point, being at events, like you were saying, you didn't necessarily bring your Doberman to events, is watch your dog's body language. Like I can say to Cody, I know when he's done. Like it's, we've been here long enough. Even if he's wants to stay and gives me that sad face and stops, like doesn't want to walk, you have to be that responsible person. Just like if you had human kids, to say, like, it's time to go. You're going to have a meltdown, right? You've seen the little kids having meltdowns because they've been there too long or they ate too much sugar. With Cody, I'm like, we got to go. That's it. Yep. We had fun. We were here for 2 hours. You know, like, let's go. It might take some treat encouragement, but you have to be that advocate of your dog and paying attention to when they are done. Because when they're tired, when they're stressed, if it's a stressful situation, it's not going to be good for your dog. So Cody has a threshold, usually never more than 2 hours. I used to bring him to pet expos and be there for a long time. Now we do no more than like 2 hours. And I'll say, Coach, do you want to go home? And he goes, he'll ruin me. I'm like, all right, let's go.
But that's a good point. You know, it's two ends of the spectrum there. So it's knowing when your pet who is used to these things has had enough, because even those pets can be pushed beyond a limit. But I think that whole idea of knowing your pet and knowing those limits starts at the beginning too. You know, maybe the whole thing starts with, and I think this is what my key would need to be with Guinevere, is if I was trying to get her to the point where she could go to a 2 hour pet event without, you know, losing her mind or dropping dead of a heart attack, because she is a bulldog. And so she just gets so worked up and then she turns pink and she scares me. So, you know, getting her in the car first and just taking her out, not necessarily getting her out of the car, go for a short car ride. Then maybe it's a quick run in to grab one thing at the store and out, not hanging out for 30 minutes, but you build up to what you've done with Cody. It doesn't start from the beginning like that. And I think that's important for people to know, is where are you on that spectrum and build up to the bigger outings.
Absolutely. I love that you said that. It's so true, because you'll hear people say, like, my dog hates the car. This, you know, he only associates the car with going to the groomer or to the vet, you know?
Yeah, well.
My dog's never
because
seen
that's me- all that happens.
Yeah. My dog's never seen outside the fence because they don't walk the dog. And then they wonder why, like, hey, we want to go to this event in town. And the dog is, like, freaked out. So yeah. Small increments is so important with dog training, with getting your dog used to things. And, of course, it goes back to your dog, right? You could have a dog that's just, like, happy-go-lucky, like Cody, ready to go. Or you could have a dog that's like, he wants to go or she wants to go, but like your dog, Cody gets red too. People are always like, what's wrong with his eyes? I'm like, nothing. He's just excited. I think it's a bully thing, you know, but you know, the same thing. It's just, that's such a great point to make because it really, you know, it really, you wouldn't bring your dog, your new dog to a pet expo for 8 hours and expect to have the most perfect dog the whole time, you know?
Right.
So.
Right. Well, Nancy, thank you so much for being with us today. This was really, really, I know it helped me because it allowed me to get some stuff off my chest.
Oh.
But I think the advice that you shared is going to be really helpful to our listeners. And I hope that people are able to identify, like, yes, this is me. These are the mistakes that I'm making, possibly, and how they can go about remedying them. So I really appreciate your time and sharing all of that.
So happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
And if you have family members or friends who you know they have these issues, you know, share this episode with them because, you know, it really, when you get to that point where you've got a well-trained dog that you can take out in public and be comfortable with your knowledge and with their behavior, it's just so much less stressful when you're doing it. And it'll be so much more enjoyable. And that's the whole point of you taking your dog out and about is to have a good time, right?
Yes. And can I say one more point? I know we'll go on for hours. Hire a dog trainer, right? If you're not sure how to do it, hire a dog trainer. Interview dog trainers. You might not find the first dog trainer as the dog trainer for you or for your dog or for your family situation. Interview them, get to know them, and have them work with you on areas that your dog needs help in, if there are those areas. I feel like there's so many amazing dog trainers in this country that can help you. So go hire a dog trainer, you know, even if it's a one-time thing.
All right. Well, I think that's a great piece of advice to end with. And again, thank you so much for being here today. And thank you to everybody for listening to another episode of Starlight Pet Talk.
Thanks, Amy.
Thanks for listening to Starlight Pet Talk. Be sure to visit our website at www.starlightpettalk.com for more resources. And be sure to follow this podcast on your favorite podcast app so you'll never miss a show. If you enjoyed and found value in today's episode, we'd appreciate a rating on Apple. Or if you'd simply tell a friend about the show, that would be great too. Don't forget to tune in next week and every week for a brand new episode of Starlight Pet Talk. And if you don't do anything else this week, give your pets a big hug from us.